welcome officials from the Department of Water and Sanitation. I'd like to welcome our support staff and everybody present. Apologies we have this morning. First is from the chairperson, Honorable Foma Shadile, who has not been available the whole of this week because he is out of the country on an official engagement. The minister, we are informed she has submitted an apology. She's coming in a bit late, but also she will leave early because she and Deputy Minister are launching a pilot on alternative sanitation technology in Khayelitsha this morning. And so the Deputy Minister has gone ahead. She has gone there. She won't be available in this meeting. She's also submitted an apology. The secretary to the committee, Darren, has also tendered his apology. He had a family matter to deal with in Eastern Cape. He said Zandi is going to do the secretarial duties this morning. Having welcomed all of you, I do want to say that we would like to go through this meeting and engage as much as we can, but we would like to finish this meeting by 11:30, 11:45 at the latest, because members have got to leave, and I'm sure the officials also need to leave at some point. We are told that flights are full, because in fact we are told flights are full between now and the 8th of June. Out of Cape Town and into Cape Town. And that's the challenge all of us are going to face if we delay the meeting into 12:30, 1:00, etc. and so on. We don't want to give anyone in Cape Town over the weekend. And I'm sure members who can reach home early would also like to go past their constituencies, because today is constituency work. It's just that we took a decision to convene this meeting before that decision was taken. Let us welcome the minister, Minister Mokonyane. We were informed that you are coming in, and we have your apology that you'd like to leave early because of the engagement in Khayelitsha. But thank you for your presence. Honorable Mandora. I'm aware of that. It just that it slipped my mind a bit. But thank you for that indication. Let us go straight ahead. Minister, I'd like to give you an apology. I don't know whether you want to catch your breath or you can shoot straight away just make opening remarks.
Okay. Thank you, Governor. Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm here with the Director General and the team from the department accompanying the DG, she will actually introduce the team that is before you. One of the things that one would want to raise with yourself are issues that that are related to the new approach that we want to take in terms of dealing with our capacity to deliver services to our people. You'll recall, Chairperson, that ordinarily this department's responsibility is primarily on regulation, compliance, development of infrastructure, but the ultimate responsibility of having a water in your yard or in your community rests with the local authority. What has become a reality that everybody assumes that you are responsible for the entire water village. So we will also, in our presentation, reflect the areas that are really trying to respond to that constitutional mandate of the department to give support to local authority. That our interventions now have gone beyond just the release of money, but also re-emphasizing the significance of what a conditional grant should be, that there must be conditions attached to it. Secondly, we will also share with you some of the enabling opportunities that we have created to mobilize additional resources, but also to use this budget that is before Parliament in a much more effective and efficient manner, and go back to dealing with the work we are doing with COTA on the development of plans. As we speak now, part of our back-to-basis contribution is to ensure that local authorities have got 10-year water master plans. Not every, in fact, it's less than 30% of our local authorities that have got water plans in South Africa, which then poses a challenge. And so it's one of the other things that is now giving us an opportunity in line with the NGP to create a capable state that can actually be in a position to render a service to our people in an uninterrupted, in a seamless way. And then the other issues will be around the experience on the ground. What I have always said to the department in these few months I've been there is that sometimes we may be happy and assume that things are done. Because we have signed a paper, we have approved the money, but on the ground there is no real impact. So one of the key things that we'll be sharing with ourselves are our way of monitoring and evaluating the work that we're doing. And also putting people as part of the development that we're doing in the community. So that has also been a challenge, the absence of monitoring and evaluation and ensuring compliance. We are sorting out the incapacity within the department in terms of the supply chain and the finance unit of the Department of Water and Sanitation, which I also hope that Margaret will actually, DG will also speak briefly on. But if you ask me, I know that everybody will say, are these resources sufficient? Our baseline has been, let's plan properly, let's do things proper, and then we can come back and say we do not have the money. And that's the attitude that one can, so that then we don't first put money as an issue, we must agitate for more resources based on the plan and the identification of areas of intervention. That's what we are now doing. Well, South Africa doesn't have a national water master plan, but now we are also dealing with a water and sanitation plan. So starting in this new financial year, that's where also resources are going to go to. Thank you very much. If I may hand over to Margaret.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much, Minister. I think that at some point, Minister, when we have a bit of time, we would have to talk a little deeper into the issue you've just raised, that of a 10-year plan on water and sanitation provision. And the reason being that the little that we have seen in the course of our oversight, we went to the Eastern Cape, and we are going to be going to other provinces, is the challenge of the provision of bulk water. And we want to link that with the infrastructure build program of government, with particular reference to water and sanitation, and have a clear understanding of the plans that you have and the role players in your department, including the water boards, the role that they are supposed to play, and so on. So at some point in the course of the year, we would like to have a deeper understanding of all of that. But thank you for your company. Did you go ahead?
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to you and members and Minister. Let me quickly just introduce the team that is with me this morning. I have Ms. Tabiseng Fundambuli, who is the CFO for the main account. And behind, there is, you're sitting behind me, Mpho Mofokeng, he's the CFO for the water trading entity. Next to him is Babawa Manyakanyaka, who's the Chief Director for Strategy Support, and also has Shri Maloto, who is support for cabinet services. Behind me is Colin Pico, who's the Chief, the CSO in the Ministry. And I have Joyce, who is the CLO, and who is in the Deputy Minister's Office. That's the team here today. Thank you very much for providing us an opportunity to present to you our budget for Vote 36. Chair, the way we structured the presentation, I will give a brief overview around our process that we followed in arriving at the budget, as well as an indication of the various programs that we have and what the key mandates or strategic mandates are. Then I'm going to hand over to the CFOs that will take you through the actual allocation, and we have included, as per your brief to us, the challenges that we have with regards to some of our grants and then some of the opportunities that we think we also have to see what they do. So let me kick off. With regards to our planning and legislative regulatory environment, I'm not going to spend too much time here. Suffice it to say that our constitution dictates to us the way in which we should go about planning in the department for our annual performance plan, as well as our strategy for 5 years. The Public Finance Management Act and its regulations provides us with even more detailed and finer planning processes, as well as additional legislation, policy, and regulation includes the Public Orders Act, our Money Bill, our Public Service Act, and our policy and regulation across Treasury, the public service, etc. That is the framework that we use to kickstart our planning and our budgeting. What we do when we started, we have a pre-planning position, taking into consideration what our annual report has indicated with regards to our annual performance. So we do a review. We then do a strategy formulation, taking both analysis, internal analysis, looking at, amongst others, whether we are structured correctly as per the Public Service Act. We are allowed once a year to do a review of our structure and to do further alignment. In this regard, I should point out that the department will be embarking on a major realignment, given that we have now established the new Department of Water and Sanitation. But the sanitation function only came into the department in November of 2014. So we will be doing a major alignment. This is of the view that it should not be a standalone, so you shouldn't just inherit the function and keep it as it is, but it should be integrated into the department. For example, we have a planning function for water, and so the planning function for sanitation should be included in that specific section. And that's why it allows us to also right-size the organization to make sure
that with regards to our strategy that we've developed now, and we refer to it as a 5-point plan, that there is alignment in ensuring that we are able to be efficient and system. We also do an external analysis looking at interdepartmental issues, that if there are conditions that have changed for other departments and also in our environment, that we are able to also consider that when we develop our strategy. We of course always remind ourselves of the vision, the mission and the values of the department, but with a major realignment, that will also be an opportunity for us to take a look at that and whether those statements are in fact still intact. Given the fact that sanitation has come through, obviously need some adjustments there. We then develop our goals and objectives and a strategy map, identifying short-term priorities and strategies. With the implementation, we are bound as per the Public Finance Management Act and program budgeting to look at performance indicators and our targets, to develop costed annual performance plans, and then to approve and implement all our plans. In terms of our process then, we do a further analysis and do our monitoring and evaluation of our performance throughout the year on a quarterly basis and provide reports to yourself, to our portfolio committee and to our national treasury. And in that way, we are able then to continuously evaluate our performance and our strategy. The next slide indicates just a little bit more in terms of how we further consider. The mandate is legislative and from constitution. We also consider international agreements. We look at Millennium Development Goals. All I have to point out is Minister Rento's speech yesterday indicated that for water sanitation we've reached those Millennium Goals, with water earlier on in 2007 and sanitation in 2010. We also consider the framework for climate change and sustainable development goals. That will be post-2015 agenda and government priority. We consider very strongly the National Development Plan, the Medium Strategic Framework, and the New Growth Path. As I indicated, our interdepartmental program is also important, and that's the way that we are moving forward with regards to implementation across departments. And that's how foster subcommittees have now been structured by way of cluster work rather than individual departments. We have strong linkages with COCTA, obviously the Department of Human Settlements, and also with DAC. We then have yourselves as our oversight and implementation sphere, which we consider also with regards to our planning process. Just to indicate the linkages with the Millennium Development Goals, the National Development Plan, and the Medium Strategic Framework, we were asked by the Portfolio Committee the other day and the Select Committee, what outcome do you relate to? In fact, we relate to 5 of the outcomes that are there, not a single outcome. Jay, you can appreciate the number of reports and the number of meetings we have to attend, because each one of those outcomes has its own mechanism to drive its implementation and to do its monitoring. But either as it may, we relate to outcome 4, outcome 6 for economic infrastructure, outcome 10 around the environment, outcome 7 for rural development, and outcome 9 for local government. With regards to the National Development Plan and towards the vision of 2013, Chapter 3 resonates strongly with our mandate, which is the economy that will create jobs. Chapter 4, improving infrastructure. Chapter 5, transition to low-carbon economy. 6, inclusive and integrated rural economy and building a capable state. So Chapter 13. I've already spoken about the Millennium Goal. In terms of the next slide, it's just a graphic illustration of where each of those fits in with regards to our scorecard, so I won't spend time there. We're going to the program for budget and the structure that we have in the department. There are 5 programs, administration, under that sits the ministry, the department management, internal audit, financial management, international water support, program management, and corporate services. For water planning information management, we have integrated planning, water ecosystems, water information management, and management and support for the water planning information management. Then for water structure development, infrastructure development, I beg your pardon, we have water services infrastructure, infrastructure development and rehabilitation, and the operation of our water resources. The latter two are funded by the water trading entity. For water and sanitation program 4, we have the National Sanitation Services, water sector support, as well as management and support for that particular branch. With regards to the first, which is the water sector regulation, we have compliance monitoring, economic and social regulation enforcement, institutional oversight, water use authorization, and then water service sanitation and regulation as well. Our revenue funds sit with the financial management, and we are also incubating our catchment management agency under the WTE branch. Just very shortly, our main account indicators for administration, which is program 1, is to provide policy leadership advice and course of good services, including finance, human resources, legal, ICT, management services, communication, and corporate planning. The matters that we deal with there, strategic matters, are skills development, communication, review to engage with our stakeholder management and community participation program. Our legislative and policy development resides there, and international cooperation and mine water management as well. With regards to program 2, which is water planning, the purpose is to ensure that the waters, country's water resources are protected, used, developed, and conserved, as well as managed and controlled in a sustainable manner for the benefit of all the people and the environment by developing a knowledge base and implementing effective policies. The strategic matters that we busy ourselves with under that branch is water resource planning, water information management, through data capturing, monitoring information systems, and these will be matters such as dam level, dam safety, and quality of water is also captured there for the country. The protection of water resources by doing reserve determination, our resources classification and quality objectives are also done under that subsection. We also deal with water services and local water management by developing water service bulk, master plan, and water services development plan. And that is for the issue you were raising in your opening remarks, Chair, around bulk water services. Program 3, water infrastructure management, and the purpose is to develop, rehabilitate, and refurbish raw water resources and water services infrastructure to meet socioeconomic and environmental needs of South Africa. The majority of our budget resides in this program, Chair, to the tune of 12 billion out of 16 billion. Stands to reason that building of dams don't come cheap, so that's where our majority of our budget is. With regards to the strategic matters, it's infrastructure development, regional bulk infrastructure, as well as operations and maintenance design here. Program 4, water sanitation services. It is to ensure the provision of sustainable water and dignified sanitation services, including implementation support and advocacy. Water sector support and sanitation services would be the strategic matters that we deal with under that program. The final one is water sector regulation to ensure development, implementation, monitoring, and review of regulations across the water supply chain in accordance with the provisions of the National Water and Water Services Act. We deal here with institutional oversight. You made reference to our water boards and our entities. This is the program that oversees those institutions. Water use authorization, that is your infamous water licensing, happens under this program. Economic and social regulation, compliance monitoring, this is conducting dam safety evaluations and monitoring of compliance of use once the license has been issued. We have to make sure that you are using the water allocation. If you don't, then we have to cite and take legal steps against you. Then water supply services and sanitation regulation, as well as enforcement and that is investigation, reported spillage issues, etc. That falls under the main account for those programs. The water trading entity is financial management to ensure efficient management of daily financial operations for the water trading entity, processes and systems for infrastructure, and as I indicated, for our proper catchment management agency component. We deal there with our debt recovery, specifically reducing the number of days of outstanding debt and infrastructure expenditure on refurbishment and betterment of our infrastructure. With regards to our purpose CMAs, provides for the protection, development, use, and management of resources at the water management area level. The strategic issues that we are busy with under the portal CMAs are validation and verification. And this speaks specifically with regards to the transformation of the water sector, where you have licenses that were allocated 30, 40 years ago, and we are not convinced that that water licenses are still intact and that they are being used accordingly. So it gives us a way to reclaim some of that water so that we can reallocate it elsewhere and for priority purposes. As well as river ecostatus monitoring, monitor ecostatus of rivers to determine where interventions are required. And I don't have to remind you about the Harvesport dam and the fact that we have a major destabilization of that ecosystem. And it's really because of the dumping higher up the Crocodile River by some of the industries. So we're working closely with our regulatory program to ensure that those people are brought to book and that those phosphates that allow for the overburden of the algae and the plants that are actually removed. Chair, let me then hand over to the CFO for main accounts who will take us through the budget allocation.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members, Minister and DG. The slide that we'll talk to, the first slide is on the budget increase that we have. For the previous financial year, our allocation was 13.6 billion, and this year we are allocated 16.4, which illustrates the increase of 21%. According to the budget allocation per program, as indicated, we have five programs. Program 1 is being allocated 1.5 billion and program 2 808 and infrastructure development 12.4 billion and water and sanitation services 1.4 billion and water sector regulation 231 million. In terms of economic classification, compensation of employees is sitting at 1.4 billion and goods and services is sitting at 1.6 billion. Our transfers to municipalities and subsidies that we provide is sitting at 6.6 billion and payment of capital is sitting at 7 billion. Bulk of our budget is sitting with our water infrastructure development, which demonstrates 76% of the budget, followed by the water and sanitation services at 9%. In terms of our economic classification, our bulk of our budget is sitting as payment of capital assets, which is related to the infrastructure development project, as well as followed by 87% by the transfers and subsidies to the municipalities. In our budget, we have earmarked funding as well as unearmarked funding. Our bulk of our budget is sitting at 41%, which is related to the Regional Bank Infrastructure Grant, which is a specifically an exclusive grant that is allocated to the department, followed by the EMF funding of 17% and our conditional grant of 14%. The next slide is talking to the EMF funding that illustrates a 17% as well as the exclusive appropriated, which is sitting at 9 billion. Our bulk infrastructure is allocated 4.9 billion. The municipal water infrastructure grant is allocated 791 million. That is on the indirect grant for the municipal infrastructure. Our direct infrastructure grant, which for municipal infrastructure, is sitting at 1.8. That is the one that is directly transferred to the municipalities. Our rural infrastructure, household infrastructure is also split into two, one being indirect and one being direct grant. Indirect is sitting at 67 million and the direct is sitting at 48. In terms of our budget eradication program, the allocation budget is 975, and if you look at the outer years, there is no allocation being indicated in that, because the target to eradicate eradicate the budget for this current financial year and in the 4 months. Yes, Minister. Thank you, Minister. And in terms of the allocation of the water service operating subsidies, is sitting at 452. The next allocation is according to the province, the allocation of accelerated community infrastructure projects is sitting at 253 million, and that's how it has been allocated per program. The regional bus infrastructure, which is managed by the department, is also sitting at 4.7 billion. And the next slide is talking to the cash flow quarterly, as how are we going to spend the money per quarterly according to the plans and according to the business plans that have been approved. The next allocation is for the municipal water infrastructure grant for Schedule 5B, which is a direct funding that is directly being transferred to the municipality, but based on the business plan that would have been approved, it's 1.8 billion, with the highest allocation in the KwaZulu-Natal, followed by the Eastern Cape. The slide that talks to that in terms of the cash flows is indicated below. The next slide is talking to the municipal water infrastructure grant that is managed by the department and been implemented by the department using our own entities to implement the services of the grant. It's the allocation is at 791 million, and for those provinces that are not reflected on the slide, their whole allocation is sitting at the direct grant, which is at Schedule 5B. The next slide is talking to the quarterly cash flow on how are we going to be spending the money. The allocation for the water services operating subsidies is sitting at 452 million, with the highest allocation with Limpopo. And the next slide is talking to the cash flows. In terms of the rural household infrastructure grant direct funding, as the allocation is 448 million, and for the Schedule 6B, the allocation is 67 million. Uh-huh. And the next slide is really talking to the cash flow, the quarter, on how the money is going to be spent. And the question will be, are we ready to then implement the infrastructure project? And as a department, we have put measures in place to ensure our readiness in terms of implementing the projects themselves. All implementing agencies that have been appointed, they have been allocated with the allocation letters to ensure that they implement the projects according to the plans. And the budget has already been loaded into the system to ensure that we move as the services are being delivered on the ground. We have in terms of ensuring that we don't have delays, which we have experienced in the previous financial year, have developed the checklist to ensure that we do verification of supporting documents as well as the invoices that have been submitted to the department. As I've indicated, the budget is also allocated based on the business plans that are already been approved, that are ready to be implemented, as well as the cash flows that we have developed. Challenges that we have experienced in the previous financial year, it was related to our implementing agents in terms of the late submissions of invoices and also submitting those invoices without proper documents. That's the reason why we then have developed the checklist to ensure that we do proper verification before any invoices are being processed. There have been some delays in terms of service in some municipalities where they've been affected by the protests. Those delays have been addressed in the meantime. Furthermore, we also have then developed measures to implement more cost effectiveness in terms of our budget aligned to our plans. The department will pay invoices on work that is being done. Advances will be paid for materials that are ordered. In most cases, the materials that we order are not ordered internally, therefore it requires the advance payments. The effective systems of verification of work done is also being implemented. We will be improving on our project management and strengthening our contract management. Also develop our electronic document management system to ensure that we track our invoices and also strengthen our contract management. Furthermore, we'll also improve our communication with our implementing agents to ensure that we do not have delays in terms of our services. What opportunities are we going to take? We will ensure that we support our implementing agents in ensuring accuracy before anything happens in the with the invoices. And I think the Minister has indicated earlier in her opening remarks the issue of the master plans in the provinces. We are in the process in the department to ensure that we all have master plans in all provinces. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'll hand over to my colleague.
Thank you, Chairperson, Minister, DG, Committee. Mine is two lines, Chairperson. WG, which is water tank entity, looking at program 3, is dealing mainly with the infrastructure and major projects that we are undertaking under the year that reviews, and some of them are projects that have come some years ago. If you look at this slide, it will give you a total picture of exactly what total cost of our projects that are existing before and the ones that are going to be initiated, how much they cost, which is sitting about 39 billion. And then look at what has been spent thus far, which is about 8.7 billion. Then you look at the over the MTF, how much has been allocated, is about 9.3 billion. If you look at exactly where the major allocations are, you will see that the Olifant River Water Resource Development Project, which is the first three line items on the top, are the ones that are taking the biggest chunk of the budget. That's where we are saying Limpopo, we need to be providing the water to all the various sectors, our users, so our home users, as well as the mines and all the other irrigation. That's the investment that we're putting in place in terms of the WOP, as we all call it. But the WOP has a different face to it. The other allocation that we've made, the raising of gambions, I think that is the one that also we keep getting a lot of allocation of 1.8 billion. Then we have the raising of Zimbabwe 2050. So we also have Mzimbulu, which is one of the catalyst projects that we are going to be undertaking. For the MTF, we've allocated 1.1 billion in terms of that project. And you can see that project is estimated to cost about 20 billion. The rest below the line of subtotal there is a dam safety adaptation, which is a very specific project for us. We have allocated about 1 billion to it. And other allocations of about 1.2 have to do with the financial management and the support of the NWI. When you go to the revenue project, which are funded from the users, the money we charge our customers, we're saying we have some investment that needs to be done. And to protect our current infrastructure, we are putting about 1.2 billion. But in the whole of MTF, we are putting 3.5 billion to manage and maintain, to refurbishment, to rehabilitation of our existing dams that we have, so that we can provide a good quality at the same time and ensure that we capture more of our resources. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Are we done? All right. Members, it's your turn. Honorable Madropa, Honorable Dr. Fig, Honorable Nyalungu, Honorable Sheikh Imam, and Honorable Manana,
Honorable Mabuklen and Honorable Chopesole.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thanks to the Minister. Minister, we can see that you don't sleep in this department. We saw you early in the morning. We saw you last night, and you're doing very well in the work of the community. We appreciate that. However, Chair, one wants to check. I know that the Minister has got a few months in this department, but we can see the visibility and the work being done. There is a challenge around the issue of the affairs of the expenditure in the department. If you do the analysis for 5 years, I know that Minister has just arrived, but there should be leadership is a package. You take in what is not yours. We can see that the department in 2010-2011 performed 61%, and to date 2014-2015 was 44.5%. We can see that there is a decline in the performance, and we don't know what is the reason. Maybe I was impressed by you, Minister, when you were saying that we are not going to complain about the resources, but you want to clean your house first and being effective and efficient. 2013-2014 was 64.3% water and sanitation. So we see the decline in the performance. Coming to the performance again, Honorable Minister, the third quarter expenditure report by the National Treasury revealed that there was a low expenditure due to the water legislative review process being halted in order to accommodate the sanitation component, because it was included there. I know that the money that was under spent was 68.5 million, which is 12.6%. One would want to know how far is the process now to try and rectify it, because the report of the National Treasury revealed that there was a challenge that we have to include sanitation. As a result, there was a stop in the implementation of the program. Secondly, the third quarter expenditure report also revealed that there were delays in the water on leak projects. How is the department planning to use 2015-2016 budget allocation in order to deliver on its merit to save water, given that water is increasingly becoming a scarce source in the country? And also, why is on the fourth quarter expenditure report, another reason for department under expenditure relates to a non-finalization of the draft water pricing strategy. What is the progress on the status to date on the issue? If one can get that clarity, Chair. And the other thing, Chair, lastly, I want to check whether this department, Honorable Minister, does have a performance contract for the accounting officer. I'm saying this because the government is facing a challenge around the issue of the performance contract of the accounting officers in the department. As a result, it becomes so difficult for us as the people that are playing oversight to pin, or even the minister to pin the accounting officer to say that you have to account on this because there are no performance contracts. We want to check whether there is. And also to suggest, Honorable Chair, that on the issue of the issue of the payment of the contractors, because we have seen also that was a challenge, although the reason is given that the Department of Public Works delayed to give the department invoices, but it is a challenge of the under expenditure. I'm asking this, Honorable Chair, because our mandate here is this committee to really follow how the department spends money. are they spending it according to what they have requested for. So it is important for us to look at how the department spend money and on the issue of the contracts that were paid late or not paid. Is it not possible, Honourable Minister, so that this particular area can be taken very seriously, that it becomes part of the performance contract of the accounting officer, so that you can monitor and you can see if there is the performance contract in the department. At the moment, Honourable Minister, okay, I will pose that, maybe I will come later. But I'm glad that the Minister is saying he's not going to worry about asking more money when the money that they have is not to expend. They want to put a plan and they want to work properly first and see whether they need more money. I think it's only the Minister rather than asking the money when they're under expenditure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Sik.
Thank you, Honourable Sikerson. The Honourable Minister seems to be somebody who is very committed to the task, judging by a vibrant, dynamic speech. But having said that, you know, the people of South Africa want to see results. And so based on that, I just have some questions for clarification. Last financial year, there was an under expenditure of 2.1 billion. Now, a statement is made that there is inadequate funding, but if there is inadequate funding, how does it happen that the monies are unspent? Because that is problematic in that department. Secondly, a report received from the Auditor General that you got an a qualified report, and there were numerous irregular activities, which were some of them were damning. I should like to know, have those issues been attended to? Those, you know, issues regarding contracts and this whole list of it, which I obviously don't have time to go to now. Then I am from the Eastern Cape, so obviously, you know, I represent the people of the Eastern Cape as well, as much as the other rest of the country. But there are two projects there, or one project and one issue that has been around for a while. And I know you did comment on it yesterday, Honourable Minister, that regarding the Nooit Sector project. Can you just give an indication of how far that is? And the second issue, which is, it personally affects me because I can't fish anymore in the Swakopmund River because of the sanitation and the pollution there. What is being done about that? Because in my view, it's a minor problem, but creating a major problem. It's only spillage of sewage, that's it. It just needs to be the pipe needs to be repaired. So please, can we just get any comments on that? Then regarding the Bakhti eradication, you spoke about that yesterday as well. I see 935 million has been allocated to that project, Jefferson. I have three questions regarding that. How many townships and households? The Bakhti eradication problem. I see there's a 975 million allocated for this financial year, for the next financial year. So, how many townships and households still use the bucket system? How many buckets were eradicated last year? And that 975 million, and another answer to this question, you say, is that adequate for the coming year, that 975 million that has been allocated? And then lastly, on the budget person, this issue of late invoices has been coming up from the first meeting. And something needs to be done about it because it can't continue that businesses and small businesses don't get paid because of late submission of invoices, because of incomplete invoices, because of inadequate supporting documentation. I think somehow there needs to be some system that needs to be implemented either to assist the subcontractors or something needs to be done because it's obviously causing a lot of damage to our economy. Thanks, Honourable Chairperson.
Hello.
Thank you, Chairperson. My colleagues have already asked some of my questions. My one question to the Minister. Minister, I just want to check, when are you evaluating your HOD? And then the second one on slide On your challenges, one of your challenges is that the political instability within the municipalities affected the appointments of service providers and also payments of service providers already appointed. I just want to check if ever is there any service transfer from these service providers to the department, so that in future we cannot you can use the service providers again. For now, Chair, let me go. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, let me commend the department under the Minister's guidance, and I think if what we hear is implemented, it certainly will enhance the living conditions of our people countrywide, and I think what people really want to see, and I see there is a beginning to it, is they want service delivery, and what we want to see is passion from the department, and I think we're beginning to see that. For that, I want to congratulate you and tell you to go ahead and continue the good work. My colleagues have alluded to some of the issues, especially with the bucket system and things, but my question is with regards to your underspending. I know you're asking for more money. You're not spending what you got, but you're asking for more and more money. I think you need to tell us what is really creating havoc, what is the difficulty you're experiencing, and also maybe give us a guideline, which are the promises that are giving you a problem. Maybe we need to start breaking it down to where exactly and the root causes are causing challenges for us that we really need to address. Honourable Minister, Chairperson, what we have identified when we went on visit to the Eastern Cape? Again, I must commend, but we've been taking water in some of the areas. I don't think anybody would have ever thought of taking water for these people. They were a forgotten lot. It, let me tell you, that must be really a fantastic job well done. But also found challenges, and I'll give you a good example. We talk about job creation, which is what one of the your departments plan to try and create. If you take, we seem to be dependent on imports a lot, especially if you take water pipes that you are using in the development of our. Now, they are the cost factor there is enormous. And we are totally dependent on countries like America, China, and India to bring these things in. And I would ask if there's any chance the department can engage with the other relevant trade and industry and things. Maybe we need to, these are materials we need to be using on an ongoing basis. Is it not possible that maybe we should liaise with the other departments to try and create industry around all these things and become self-reliant? It'll be more cost-effective, more local contact, create more jobs as well. That's one of the challenges. I must tell you one little area we found, we went to, we found corruption at work. 100% it was. I've never seen corruption so visible then, sorry. In the Eastern Cape. It's to such an extent that, but I must also admit, they were very honest because they said we knew, we heard the national department, the national parliament were coming, so we decided to cement this pipe quickly and it was still wet. They spent about 60 rand, 69 rand I would say, with water and sand was free in the area. But I can tell you that they claimed 300 and some odd thousand for it, which they were paid for, who passed it, which consultant, what happened, we don't know. So corruption is also very good. And that's also costing us, so I think your department needs to clamp down and put mechanisms to try and prevent it. In fact, deliberately we were not taken to some areas that we have planned that they were, we were supposed to be taken. But one of the challenges we found that delays in the contract were is sourcing material, and also contractors not being able to have the resources available. And that's why if you talk about paying for material, it's a very good thing that we pay for material that's delivered on site, because contractors, it's disadvantaged to some contractors who don't have the resources, especially with these cost implications. You talk about skill shortage. Yeah, we talk about skill shortage. And I must admit that every department that appears before appropriations tells us their skills shortages, every department. And again, I'm going to ask the same question. Since there is skills shortage and there's a high unemployment rate, again, working together with all the other relevant departments,
Because, you know, we give a lot of bursaries, we give a lot of funding, but we're giving it again to those that want to study courses like business management, and there's thousands there that have now got these qualifications and can't find jobs. Can we also, not from your department, maybe it is one of the things you should be encouraging is directing in some kind of bursaries or something towards those people, specifically the skills needed in your particular department.
Let me go on to something else.
What we also found is dear person, that we get reports, first quarter report comes in the third quarter, then we see no reports in the financial year and it's over. And to identify the challenge is a little too late for us. And that's why we want to know what is the possibility of you following this up, maybe on a monthly basis rather than a quarterly. A quarterly system doesn't work. Really doesn't work. I also see a challenge that you're not going to spend much in the first quarter. But my understanding is that what you've never spent should have been rotating and continuing. And when strategic plans come in place, they should be coming in place to take all four quarters into consideration. So that's also where the it appears to be a danger. But what I'd like to see from this department is to give us a comprehensive report of all the achievements by water and sanitation thus far and where we need to go into providing the service to countrywide. You know, we always talk about what we haven't done. We're not talking about what we have done. And I want to know what have we thus far achieved in terms of the bucket system, in terms of providing water to households in areas that in those things. Maybe we need to also know so we know where we are moving and what we also need to achieve. And I like the idea that it should not be based on money, but what the needs of people are, and then you decide where the money is going to come from. So that is a brilliant idea. Jay, let me stop from there.
Thank you, Honorable Manana.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me join those who welcome the report. It is very informative. But there are some questions and concerns that I would like to raise. Minister, the Auditor General report for 2013-2014 is not good at all. I wonder whether for the past financial years, things are going to be improved. Let's hope so. We don't want to see the situation next year, seeing some of the things that we had for 2013-14. But these are the questions that I would like to pose. The first one is with regards to the implementation of the regional bulk infrastructure grant projects. In your report, you have indicated that you have already appointed people to do that. What I wanted to find out whether, are you sure that these people, do they have capacity to do it? And we need to monitor it very strictly. The second issue is with regards to the rural household infrastructure indirect grant, the 67.3 million. as a department, are you really sure that this money is sufficient that you can execute this grant accordingly? You know, Eastern Cape, unfortunately, we were referred to Eastern Cape because that is the province that we visited. And things were not good at all. Nobody's saying that. But we were also very concerned whether really the municipality like Abusabata, Dalija, Ebo municipality, and things are not good, but we are not sure whether with this money are you going to make it. Unless you are going to monitor it very strictly. You know, there was most of the information that we were given there was not true. In such a way that they didn't know what to say to us. With regards to the issue of the
eradication of the bucket sanitation system is an informal settlement. We know that this grant is coming to an end, if I'm not mistaken. Are you definitely sure that in all the informal settlement, are you going to make it? Because
in all the formal.
Or not the informal? All right.
In the formal.
Okay. Or if that is the case, but are you sure that you are going to use us the money to make it a point that budgets are indicated publicly? Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable McLaughlin.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, thank you, Minister, for gracing us with your prints. In the year of meetings, you're only the second minister who's done that for us, and we appreciate it. Thank you. I just have a few questions. On slide 33, I noticed that the Minister of the Infrastructure grant, the direct grant, drops off by 700 million from 15-16 to 16-17, and then climbs up again in the RTA. I just wondered if you have some explanation for that. It seems that it goes against the trend of the rest. I just wondered why that was the case. Perhaps you could give me an answer on that. Another question, more a technical question, I guess. Also relating to the bucket eradication program, I noticed that there's money set aside for it, but what are we replacing the buckets with? Are we getting waterborne sewage? Are we getting VIP buckets? What's actually eradicating the buckets? We can't just take the bucket away and leave people without buckets, and obviously that's going to cause another problem. So we've got to replace it with something, and I just wonder what exactly it is we're replacing it with. On slides 36 and 37, I note that KwaZulu-Natal is getting the lion's share and Western Cape is getting very little. And I just wondered if you could just give us an explanation as to why that is the case there. That's some regional allocations. And it's just, Minister, you know that I'm from Natal and Natal is in Sedibeng, and it's long been one of my problems, the Sedibeng Regional Sewage Scheme. I don't see that addressed here specifically. It seems that the emphasis here is very much on the water side, not so much on the sanitation side. And that particular sanitation scheme has been holding up development in the South Gauteng for a long time. Could you maybe just address me on that as to where that's actually being funded from? Or is it coming from Rand Water? Are they still handling the job? Or is it still funded through your department? Perhaps you could just address me on that. And I just have a general question. I heard on the radio this morning a water expert saying that 98% of our water resources have already been allocated. We only have 2% of our water resources that are unallocated at this stage. That says to me that it doesn't help just continue building dams, because building a dam doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be able to fill it with water, because water is a finite commodity. Surely at some stage we're going to build enough dams, or as many dams as we can hope to fill, but the population isn't finite. That keeps on growing. So obviously we need to continue working on the regulation of the water we have once we've got our supply right. Would I be correct in assuming that the balance will change? We'll stop spending on infrastructure as far as dams and storage of water is concerned and spend more on regulation and getting the water to the people. Although you said that's something that's devolved down to the municipal levels in many instances, but will that be run by your department as well? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Shoppers, Father.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Minister, especially for yesterday. You know, you demonstrated leadership. You were ready to take your question. This shows combat readiness in your portfolio, and you can rest assured you get a lot of support from us. I am impressed by your statement that you are going to put down plans for monitoring and evaluating the usage of grants by municipalities. Because you see, this has been a very, very difficult day for me. Why departments are not doing that? Because you see, if you look at the Municipal Finance Management Act,
there is a section that actually says other spheres must assist the municipalities. And there's no excuse for the department not to follow the money. You can't allocate money and just say goodbye. You have to actually account to us on those grounds because they went through your department. And we're going to support you very much on that. And we're going to support you because, you see, we are a very smart committee. I think our last visit was just it was a learning process. Because, you see, when you do, I did a course with this, monitoring capital projects. You don't tell people to tell you where you're going to go. You go where you want to go. It's a secret of the committee. If you tell people, they'll start missing cement. And they do that, you see. So I think it was a bit of an error on our side. I don't think it will happen again. Because our staff should research and not alert the other people. And you see, in the fourth parliament, I served in intelligence. And you see, when you want information, you don't phone people and say, hey, tomorrow I'm coming and please be ready, I'm going to check if you didn't steal anything. You don't do that. It's tactic. It is the tactic that will not improve the community. And we're going to assist you a lot on that respect. I'm also impressed by your intention on putting people development at the center. You know, I always say that, you know, I listen to people talking about their financial statements, not only, especially in the private sector where I worked 17 years before I came to Parliament. You know, the balance sheet will always start with assets and liabilities. As the African National Congress, asset number one is the people of South Africa. That is the first item on the balance sheet of the African National Congress. So, I can see you are a data. Thank you.
Yes, just quickly, Minister, the 15% underspend in the 2014-15 budget, I do want to know whether the department is going to be asking National Treasury for ROVA. So that as this portfolio court committee, we can also assist in that regard, leading to the MTF in October. Secondly, just one more comment. I think the issues that members have raised, particularly with regards to grants, so on, raise a critical question, because if you look into the budgets of all departments, the bulk of the national departmental funds are transferred to provinces and local government. And you see that when we go to oversight in the municipalities and so on. What it then raises is the issue of the intergovernmental fiscal relations, which I think needs to be strengthened, especially for the department like your department, like COPRA, like human settlement, provision of energy, electricity, and so on, because that goes directly to our people. The issue of transport because of access roads and so on, it talks to the real everyday lives of our people. And when there is this disconnect between national, provincial, and local government in terms of this intergovernmental fiscal relations, it really becomes a problem. We end up saying that this minister and his or her department are not performing, when in fact you can only account so far as what you have in the department, but probably very little could be said about the huge funds that you've transferred to the provinces and local government. So it's an issue that we need to work on. It's an issue that we thought, in our very first oversight, we thought it's a matter that we must raise. The last issue, Minister, I'm glad that the department talks to the issue of the economy, insofar as this department is concerned, and job creation, because the infrastructure built program that you undertake in your department is huge, and it raises this question. Which we are raising with all departments, by the way, of using the infrastructure build program as part of the process of creating inclusive growth, as part of ensuring that there is skills transfer to the local people. Because at the end of the day, whatever infrastructure you build, it's got to be maintained. And as National Treasury has already emphasized, part of the budget of the provinces, and particularly local government, is maintenance budget. And so it is a matter that we would like to look at quite closely. When we say the Standing Committee on Appropriations, having asked Parliament to approve the budgets of departments, and follows up by following the money. We want to see where it has gone, what it is doing, whether it is being effectively used, is managed properly, and it is achieving the goals that are set out and the results can be seen. We will also follow whether it is creating jobs, whether it is stealing our people, whether once the project is done, the skills are left with the community. So that for us is critical. Let me allow your minister and your officials to respond to the question.
Chair, thanks to honourable members for the comments that have been made. We note them, and the questions that have been raised. Chair, let me start first by saying one of the mistakes we always do is that when we come to finance committee meetings, with my little stay being in public office, that we always want to come and discuss rents and sets, and not raise the issues that colleagues are dealing with. And in many instances, those of us who are executives will then leave these kind of committees as a responsibility of the administration. I think part of why we came here personally is to deal with these issues, to say the putting together of the random sense must be informed by where we want to go, so that then we can come here and justify the correctness of what we are about. And I could pick up what colleagues were saying, just raising the issues that come from Mam Shaik on tell us what we have achieved. We can bring that information. And I think it is quite important that amidst all the challenges of doing work, one thing that we must appreciate in South Africa is that 88% of South Africans have got access to water. What is missing is sustainable availability. We have kept running dry after you actually launched the project and all this, all because of the absence of operations and maintenance capacity. I'm just citing that. And then you have over 70% realization of the Millennium Development Goals on sanitation. What has been missing in how we have worked is that over the years, South Africa never had a national plan. It's only now that we have the NDP. And what it has really helped to do, it's now directing us on how we must work. But also the fact that government, what is it now, it's the second term, it has adopted an outcome-based approach of performance, where you have different outcomes. We are all forced to work together, not only interdepartmentally, but across. But we still have to manage individual egos, begging for tests, for protection of tests, and all those things. If you recall, colleagues, I want to assume that all of us have an opportunity before we understand the NDP, look at the diagnostic review of how South Africa had performed before the NDP. One of the things was that the way government conducts itself, we conduct ourselves as if we are a federal state. Everybody does everything. And at the end of the day, nothing is done. Or seems scraps. Therefore, that's why now with the adoption of the NDP, we now are saying this country needs a water security, a water plan. Because over time, information has been telling us about the status of water. But there was no direction that says what needs to be done. And I want to come back to that. What we're now dealing with in this budget is to respond to what needs to be done going into the future. And I want to present here to honourable members that this is the first year of the actual implementation of the vision of the National Development Plan and the realization of sustainable, integrated, interdependent kind of work that we have to do. So I think our finance committees, budget oversight teams over here have been bottled to the committees where we come and say that these figures are like this and those figures are like that. And that I really appreciate that you also do oversight and follow where this money goes. I so wish you could have done that from the time when President Nelson Mandela spoke about Umzinfo. Maybe we would not be here. So when you spoke about it, thank you, but that's not in our hunger. Because if from the first head of state, there's been a pronouncement of Mzimu. And we come here today and we're saying, it's only now that we are doing the designs. It's only now that we are doing this, we are doing that. Somebody must take responsibility. And what has been in absence in government is consequence management. I'm just writing experience of Mzimu. Consequence management is something that I also would want to confirm here that we do not take quite serious, which I think is one of the best tools. We all hide behind the public service act and how difficult it is to deal with the non-performance and stuff. Which then takes me to the issues that colleagues have raised around the performance agreements and all those things. There are reports that and the performance of the department, because what is important is that what do you put into the pot? If it is not of good quality, it will not yield the best meal on the table. So what we received a report of the Public Service Commission, we've received the report of the Auditor General. We are now looking at the status of the department, the water family, against what has been an observation over time. Our colleagues were referring to us 2010, 2011 to 2014, 2015. We are looking at that against what the Public Service Commission is looking at. We are looking at how the department is constituted, and we have said not everyone is guaranteed to continue where he or she is. We must place people on the basis of what we need to do as a department. And I must confess that when we came in, we had to also deal with the issues of a feeling of vacant posts, because we also had to interrogate those that are in posts. Because sometimes you may want to fill the post, and you fill the post on top of what you actually don't know. So since the proclamation, we're working with the Public Service Commission, we're at an advanced stage where there is going to be a job evaluation process to deal with the capacity of the department. One priority that we discussed with the CFO, I think it was last week, was revisiting the capacity in terms of our finance unit. but also looking at project management in the department and infusing both water and sanitation, strategic responsibilities of planning, regulation, finances, and so on and so forth, and recruitment of capable skills into the department. So I was just dealing especially with the Department of Water and Sanitation, because what has been good, and I read the proclamation and I still have it both on hard and soft copy. It says the proclamation proclaims a new department. And therefore new doesn't mean continuing with how we used to do things, but also continuing with how people used to function. So all of us are in agreement, and I must state that there is a lot of intention to do things differently in the department. We also are chairperson. Let me share with you that we've had since I came in, I've had four meetings with the Auditor General, and part of it is to establish a relationship with the AG's office. I don't want to blow my own horn, but my own history, I've had more than five clean audits in positions that I've occupied. Clean, not unqualified, clean, nothing. With others starting from unqualified in the 20 years of my being in the public office. And it all depends on the political leadership taking issues of finance seriously. And that's why we're here today. But also building a relationship with this kind of committee, and building a relationship with the AG's office, but making sure that we also become a team. They can tell you what I have said about my own observations. Say, I think I know where gaps are. If we don't actually work as a team on a month-to-month basis, we can't wait for the quarterly report and the annual report, because therefore you will not be able to make interventions. So I want to assure members to say those issues that you have raised and what member Majopoy has raised, it's a fact. We are also now interrogating, and I would ask the DG and the two CFOs to respond on how we're turning around the situation in terms of expenditure. But we're not pushing money. What we must do is to make sure that the department going into the future plans prior to the year where you get the resources. Because that has been a problem, where planning comes in at the time when you have to implement, and at the end of the day, money has been allocated and there is no capacity to roll out the project. Because with infrastructure, it is a multi-year kind of system. So you definitely have to plan ahead, and hence, like what the DD has said, we are actually upgrading our capacity to do things, particularly in the planning side, on the financial management, on the human resource capability. We are actually trying to up the ability of the department. The relationship, one thing that is also quite a conversation we have done in these 12 months we've been here, we're left with Limpopo. We visited every provincial government together with municipalities. Again, which is based on our own experience to say, even though water provinces have no competency on water, but there must be that intergovernmental relationship that exists. Because if provincial governments have a responsibility to render support, then we must say, render support on water, render support on sanitation. Hence what we have seen here in the Eastern, if not in the Eastern Cape, in the Northwest, where the provincial government and would agree with local authorities to take over the water and sanitation responsibilities of Madibeng and Waka and bring them back to national government. So that when we don't throw money into the problem, we deal with the implementation and provision of the service whilst we're sorting out the problems in local government. And it has really helped. The KwaZulu-Natal situation, that is linked to what has been raised about the budget and everything. KZN has been declared a drought area from last year, November. So part of the reason why you have big billions in KwaZulu-Natal is precisely because of that. And where we're situated is KwaZulu-Natal, followed by the Northwest and part of Limpopo. Because of the low rainfalls and all those, we have had 3 rivers running dry in KwaZulu-Natal. and will have intervened with all the parts, the old asbestos parts, suspecting and so on. So we're dealing also with those kind of issues around local politics. The 27th district is what we are trying to deal with when we talk about inadequate information from municipalities and not giving you the right information in the Eastern Cape. In fact, colleagues, I think if you look at the report of COCTA, I'm sure COCTA would also would have come through here or is still coming through here. You look at those 27 districts, mostly it's your Eastern Cape, Free State, Northwest, and Nelson Mandela is the only metro. What that actually says is that we're not only looking at their inability to manage our projects, but also the problems of local government not being able to do what is their core business. Because part of what has always been a problem, we're saying it with the DG, that we can't run away from this assumption that we deal with everything. Reticulation and distribution of water rests with local authorities. And not all municipalities have that, but all of them want to remain water authorities. So it is that that when colleagues interact with the National Treasury, even on the conditional grounds, let's tease it out so that we avoid a situation of ESCOM and local authorities and a situation that is now looming between water boards and municipalities. But we actually say, why are you giving, what is it, Monza in the Eastern Cape? Why are you giving them these grants direct? Who has actually ticked the box to say they will be able to use water infrastructure grants? Because that's what has been missing in the system. Because that's National Treasury will take money to push back bridge, but we have to now go and clean the entire push back bridge. We have to deal with Notre Dame. Is it not Notre Dame? It's a metro, ordinarily. That scheme is a municipal responsibility. It's not ours, ordinarily. Somebody was saying, you see, this thing of your vibrancy has caused you problems with everything that was doing water now is yours. Ordinarily, we should have co-funded with the Nelson Mandela Bay. But as we speak now, the issue of co-funding across, not only Nelson Mandela, across the country has become a problem. And therefore, I think this committee becomes one of our key partners who must help us that we talk with National Treasury to say, let's revisit this thing of co-funding. Because if we have to deal with water security, we can't actually not support the development of that water scheme because the municipality can't deal with it. It is our constitutional obligation to serve the people of South Africa. They can't suffer because of a municipality. But let me speak now. All that has been done in Noord-Gedacht has been primarily through our side of funding and very little from Nelson Mandela. And yet they get these grants on division of revenue and all those funds that go to municipalities. Water and sanitation and water affairs previously was not in the scheme. So I'm saying, colleagues, these are the things that when we deal with the budget and monetary issues, let's also look at the policies that make these funds not to be used adequately, because they contribute to this kind of a problem. And at the end of the day, we now have to go to Noord-Gedacht. We're actually now going there to put more money. And between you and me, we battle to recover those funds. We are in Makana. We're doing what the city of Makana was supposed to have done. But we are doing it. We're in Bushbuck Ridge. The only time you'll get a call is when people are asking you out who has been appointed. It's not about come and help us, we're working on the budget, let's come and share what is it, how we spend the budget. But there's a municipality called X, right? So part of what we're doing now with Minister Kevin Gordon is to look also on the issues of the plans that municipalities must develop, but also agree that we will go in and fund in kind, go in there, build, and then operate, and transfer once they have the capacity.
as we do these things, so that then we avoid all these issues that colleagues are actually raising, which are justifiable. But the sad part is that where you find the blockage is at the level where you now have to rely on local government. The aged infrastructure is infrastructure that is in local government. And not every municipality can go out and raise funds. But again, I want to make an example again of the Eastern Cape. Because remember, they are also an authority. They can go out and borrow money and implement something. I'm sure you know the Patrick story in Amatol. We are not in the scheme. Nobody came and spoke, even with human settlement that time, on that forest. It was DBSA, Treasury, so DBSA, Treasury, and the district. Nowhere was the department. But when somebody looks at it, they will come and say, where were you? And you then must answer in Parliament and all those things. But I'm really trying to say that 21 years from where we were, I think committees like these ones must really begin to make real interventions about how monies are not spent to further the objectives of this democratic dispensation. I think for me, it is that bold leadership that we require. It will make you unpopular, but it will make you famous in the community. So I think for me, it's the kind of hard choices we have to make with local authorities. I so wish one day you could bring even Sauda here, ourselves, COPTA, people who are doing the federal deals with any, so that this one, let's deal with these basic services and the monies that go to these basic services and what is it being spent on. And you all lay it there, you interrogate all of us, so that then you then take it to me, one that exercising oversight on policy, to then come back and say, what can we, how best can we deal with these issues? And that's part of my response to what one member was saying, the people of Africa want to see results. And I'm saying, these are some of the problems. Even in the department, we are also trying to solve those things. The spillages have to do with those issues. I don't want to say it's not us, but I'm saying it's the system that creates the problem. We only come in once a baby has died, then we jump in. We only come in when we've seen it on television or a member has listened to me, then we jump in. In Madigan, everything had to happen because of the water tanks. We had to jump in. Spending money. We are actually spending money in Madigan that municipalities are supposed to be having, but nothing is coming from their side. It comes from us because we are serving the people of South Africa. So I'm raising these issues because they then also respond to the issues of intergovernmental fiscal relations. Mali Bank owes Swane more than how many million? I don't know. And Swane owes Rand Water because Swane was asked to supply Mali Bank. But Mali Bank can't collect a cent. And Swane and Rand Water now have to act against Swane. And Madakaneng says, no, yes, it's Madakaneng. Madakaneng says, let's negotiate. What? 1 billion. Surely between you and me, Chair, that municipality will never be able to do that. They throw 220 million today, they disappear. So, what is the elephant in the house? It's the entire value chain of water supply. That's why we are reviewing the Water Act and the Water Services Act. And we are engaging Minister Praveen Gordhan to deal with the systems act, so that then all of us can visit the Senate. Can water authority be a responsibility of every municipality? I doubt with these kind of I'm a problems that we are faced with. What has gone wrong is exactly those introductions. I think we changed when in 19 I can't recall, but it's the latest amendments of our own loss when we introduced the Water Services Act. That's when things then became a problem, because then you then have to get the municipalities to do this kind of work. The creation of growing the economy and creation of wealth, yes, we agree with you, and we support what members are raising. Yes, we are also against the issues of promotion of imports. We're working together with DCI in promoting new industries here and creating new economic opportunities.
But what we're also doing, Chair, with the established companies in the construction sector is to impose emerging business people so that then they can transfer the skills, they can actually expose them in terms of acquisition of experience and all those things. We have started already with Claim 11 STEM and all other future dams that we are building because the requirements ordinarily eliminate those that are emerging. So it's that kind of intervention that we're also dealing with in terms of importation of material as well as creating new economic opportunities. Sidibeng, it was blocked for some time because there were legal issues. I'm told that the entire project for Sidibeng, you are right, that entire project will actually benefit over 1 million. People in the south of Gauteng, not only in Sidibeng, Johannesburg, the West Rand, and parts of the east of Ekurhuleni. On the Sidibeng water treatment plant, we're projecting $3 billion in terms of the budget related to that. On sanitation, colleagues, we're developing policy. We're setting up standards so that then part of what has been a problem. There was an announcement to go and eradicate, but there was no plan. There wasn't even knowledge as to where these buckets are. So you appoint people, and they have to go and look for the tools that they must play with. And that's what they did. Hence, we came back last year, we apologized. After we have been established, we apologized. Yes, the president made that announcement, but as to say, you also inherit. Whether it was in human settlement, wherever, we accepted. Now what we're doing verification of those products. Some of them have to do with toilets that have been built, but there is no water connection. So it means we have to go back there and sort out the issues of connecting to the water system. In others, the cost became higher because they then had to first deal with the water connection. Our intervention is not going to be a one-size-fits-all. We're going to look at other interventions because in some areas it is much more expensive to lay the pipe. If you know the hills and valleys of KwaZulu-Natal, you'll actually spend more digging and blasting the rock, but you can use other means. What we've been able to do is to look at other alternatives for sanitation, but we're also looking at a pricing structure so that then we're not given something that is not going to help us. On the issue of water in South Africa, yes, 98% you are correct, Honourable Member. But the problem in South Africa is threefold. One is that we are very weak on water conservation. Two is that we do not actually promote demand management. Anybody applies and anybody uses water for anything that he or she wants to use, especially drinkable water. We do not recycle water in South Africa to an extent where we can actually reduce the demand on surface water because, again, we have been over-dependent on surface water in South Africa compared to use of groundwater and recycled water. And hence these kind of problems. A company that cleans bottles and they will then brew something that gets into the bottle, they use the very drinkable water to clean the bottle and then they brew the thing with the water and then they clean the bottle with that drinkable water because we have just issued them a license and it's fine. It's those things that we're saying, it is that revolution that we must wait. Let's revisit even the licenses we have issued and set new conditions. Two, let's promote the issues of conservation. Agriculture takes, what, 67%? 66. Consumes 66% of South African water. Yet, leave aside the issues of the drought, we are a water-fed country. Shouldn't we be looking at other forms of agriculture, like hydroponics and other schemes and so on and so forth? It's those kind of things that we have to deal with. On energy, how do we work together in dealing with the issues of water demand for energy? When in fact we can also say we have challenges, if there's no energy we can't pump water. So how do we use our water schemes to generate alternative energy sources as hydros in the infrastructure that we have, so that then you can generate alternative energy. How do we also make sure that we move away from the big, what is it, wastewater treatment schemes and goes more and more functional, concentrated, which would also be of much more capability to manage our local authorities. So it is all kind of things that have to do with water in South Africa. But again, the reports have always been there, but there has not been way forward. What do we do? And we are starting this budget to then deal with those issues. We have established, I hate saying a war room, but we have an intergovernmental all-inclusive forum that has identified 9 points that we have to deal with the issues of water availability in South Africa. Yes, the 975, we want to adjust it to that amount because we just, and we can come back and give you the details as to where these areas are. Like, I know that in some of our provinces there isn't that kind of a backlog. So we're working on those. If I'm going to suggest that the DG and her team deal with the finance issues, the water leaks and stuff, and the creation of skills. Our brothers, who are very strict on our brothers, they are informed by the needs of the sector. And that's what was insisted. Though some of those who have trained are already now discussing with municipalities to transfer them to municipalities, but again, you must respond as to whether the municipality has the ability to can take those skills. Three, we are mobilizing over the coming 3 years not less than 15,000 young people who are going to be trained as artisans, as those who are going to deal with water leaks, as well as general water practitioners for South Africa. We use our own academy, but we work together with the Department of Higher Education and Training and the CITAS to do this work. The first intake will actually be there with effect from June, and we will launch the project on the Nelson Mandela Day. The first brigade that will be going into that. We've also been challenged to the need to have people that are available to move to other parts of South Africa. And that's one of the problems with our professionals. Very few of our professionals are prepared to go and work in Karibu. They want to come and work in Johannesburg, and we don't need them in Johannesburg. They want to come and work in Cape Town, we don't need them in Cape Town. And that's why we then continuously, and it's not now, we now have a third group of Cubans that have come who are transferring skills to the young ones that we are building in terms of capacity. They are the ones who are ready to go to the far-flung areas of our country. And what they are doing is a knowledge partnership. They are sharing with us the knowledge they have. They are sharing with our young people issues of values and patriotism, because again, engineering has to go also with being patriotic. I'm sure those who have been in the old establishment can tell you 80% of white engineers have emerged through them being supported by the state. That's, and it was done consciously because it's an asset that you need to protect the country more than actually the army. So it's that kind of capacity that we are really trying to generate in the department. It has not been easy, but I can tell colleagues that what Honorable Manana was asking, how things are going to look like. I don't want to say God willing, but I think it will be different from where we have been. And if we are given the support and we commit ourselves to consistent interaction, we can actually assist one another to turn the things around, because we're also recreating the capacity in the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Manifa. Thank you, Chair, Member. Let me address some of the issues asked around monitoring and evaluation, Chair. And Minister has said, when she came into the department, she took the department footstool, you take it as it is, with what and all. The biggest difficulty in this department, and it relates to the question asked, how do you decide to allocate money to a particular province? Why does one get a lot and the other one nothing. It speaks to the issue of planning. For this department, you must have long-term planning, because these projects are long-term issues. You can't put a dam in place in 6 months and so on. So we must be able to plan very carefully. If you look at the issue of KwaZulu-Natal, when that drought was declared in October, my view is the department should have known and should have told the premier that you are going to have a difficulty in October of 2014. And to circumvent that, here are the suggestions we are making, or this will be the interventions we'll put in place. That should have been done in 2010. The reason I say that is because in the department, when I projected the number of programs, there's a program called Planning and Information. In that branch sits our scientists and our hydrologists. They project year on year through the provincial water forums the climatic change and the rainfall patterns. So they should anticipate that there's going to be a drop in rainfall in that area, and therefore those three rivers are going to run dry. But it won't be enough to identify it. What you must then do is to say, what will I put in place? What are the augmentation and transfer schemes I must put in place? How do I transfer water from Moyenyeni into the east, or into Maritzburg, or into a Richards Bay area, because that's where the drought is going to be? And how long we project that? So it's a planning issue. And that has been so sorely lacking in the department. Because even if I give you a monthly report, if the planning was bad, the report is not going to make you any wiser. So that is the first intervention that we are working with together with the Auditor General. Because Auditor General, my view is that the Auditor General is not a big brother. It is the other side of the same coin. We are enjoined in ensuring that the resources that is in my custodianship is being put to good use, and that it's being used for the purposes that are identified in the appropriation bill. So we work closely with them, and I will talk a little bit about the intervention since the last opinion was released. The qualification is on the main account, is on three paragraphs. And we've been working very hard with the AG and with the CFO for main account to clear those three paragraphs. But if you look at the history of the department, it started 3 years ago with 9 paragraphs. We must also, I think, be fair, as Minister and ourselves have said, while there are challenges in the department and in water sanitation, there's also been some progress that has been made. So we've whittled down the 9 paragraphs to 3 paragraphs last year. And I'm hopeful that we will be able to clear those paragraphs to go at least to an unqualified audit, but the proof is in the pudding, and we will wait and see what outcome of this audit will be. Largely, the 3 paragraphs were speaking to misstatements. Those misstatements are with regards to the Arabic project. We were unable to indicate what our commitments are on the Arabic. Now, which is the regional bank infrastructure grant. And as the Minister and yourselves have just agreed, these grants are between ourselves and the municipalities. There's also a knock-on effect if you're unable to declare your commitments or an accurate description of your commitments, that your accruals will come into play. Because you're now unable to state in a very accurate way what your accruals are. So those are the two paragraphs. And the other one was around our assets. So these are related. And the asset was, if we complete a project, a regional bulk infrastructure scheme or wastewater treatment plant, that asset must be transferred to the municipality. And that was sitting in our suspenses somewhere. So nobody took direct control of the asset. So those are the 3 paragraphs. The one paragraph under which WCE had a finding was around revenue management. And it was specifically around allocation of licenses and being able to monitor how much water is being used by the licensee. And what we have now done is we are doing the verification process, and the 98% allocation is the one that will, this verification and validation project will also be able to indicate to us realistically how much water do we have that is available.
That is not accurate, Chair. We are not able to say that, because for years licenses were awarded without there actually being verification and a validation of actually what is being used there. So these are all systemic issues in the department that we are trying to strengthen under regulation, under licensing, and so on. And yes, the issue is also about capacity in the department. If you had good quality capacity in your planning unit, in your finance unit, and in your M&E, you are able to intervene much more quicker. Because I must be able to prepare reports for minister. So you can hear minister is on board in the area. So I can't fudge it. It's not possible. And I've worked so many years in any case, I can say, you can't fudge issues to minister. She wants it to be clear and she will drill down into it. But then I must have the capacity in my line function to ensure that I'm also able to hold them accountable. So these are issues that we are trying to fix in the department. I always say this, Chair. I don't use smoke screens and mirrors. So sometimes I also say things to minister and to yourself that are not things that you want to hear. But the issue is, if a department is as dysfunctional as this one, it will take a few cycles to correct it. It's not something that you can correct overnight. It's a massive department. You're running a budget of 16 billion rand from the fiscal. That is not grant included, and then the revenue base of almost 10 billion rand. So it's a massive enterprise. And for us to have the correct systems in place, I believe this year is a big improvement in what we are presenting to yourselves in terms of our ADP, and also aligning it to all of those seminal documents that I mentioned, the National Development Plan, because we have to give effect to the National Development. So there's adjustments that must be made in there, and to ensure that it's a quality plan, and that it's a projected plan to 2030 is not an easy task, but if your planning is correct, if monitoring evaluation is there, if allocative efficiencies are there, that if we say this is the strategic direction for water sanitation, the budget must follow suit. So that, as Minister said, it's not about your CTs and who you have a good relationship with in a municipality, but that you are actually allocating it with a view that water sanitation becomes much more effective and efficient. I thought I should say that because it also speaks to the issue we were raised around. If you look at the third quarter, just at the third quarter reports, you can see that there was consistently an underspending of 50%. And then if you look at that projected overview of ultimately what the spending was, it jumps up. It goes to 90%. So the question is, how did you get to that high first level of hockey stick syndrome in the department? And it's because, yes, you can under it. These are a building project, capital project. So it's very possible that some of those invoices are delayed and some of the verifications only came in towards the end. But it could also be that we must go deeper into it and look at what was causing that sudden escalation there in terms of the expenditure. So we will look at it. Let me just in terms of add a bit around the city being. There are two phases in that wastewater plant. The 3 billion is for a brand new wastewater treatment plant. But the first phase is upgrading share of the Sebuke and the Mayata. And those were some delays since April. I mean, since April we've been back on site, but there was a stoppage today because of some upgrades. And the projection is 650 million for Sebuke and then 240 million. And because of the stoppage, we've now moved the completion of that back to August 2016 and March 2017. We're going to redo the projection around that. Just let me speak about my performance agreement, the question. We all have to, in terms of regulation, by May, end of May, we have to submit performance plans. Mine has already been signed off and is on Minister's desk, and I'm hopeful with our engagement that she'll be signing off and meet the target date of May of this financial year. And I can also hasten to add that for all of my direct reports, we are busy reviewing their performance report, and I will certainly make the May deadline to submit the performance report there. I've spoken about the monthly reports.
And then just in terms of the bursaries, we provide bursaries. We have a strong engineering bursary program with the view that we actually are able to recruit the skills, scarce skills that the department requires. And I'll be happy to provide you with details in terms of, for the last 3 years, what has been the bursaries that we have been allocated for our engineers and what has been our uptake. Because it's not enough for us to provide a bursary check, it's also that we are able to then utilize and retain those skills. In the department. Let me ask the CFOs then to deal with the issues around the finances, and if there is something else, I'll come back and speak to it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think the only one issue that has not been responded is the issue of the underspending of the 15%, which illustrates to 2.1 billion, whether have we requested rollover in that regard. Yes, indeed, we have requested the rollover because part of those underspending was on projects which were already being committed but not yet been paid off. So we have requested the rollover to National Treasury. Thanks.
I think from our side, it was just to confirm that with regard to the procurement process, in terms of ensuring that implementation of projects are done, is that this year, just to give an example, that the minister alluded to it yesterday, we have gone out on tender to create them contracts in terms of strategic sourcing, that we now have a panel of professionals where we can now use them as and when we hire the services without going through a lengthy process because we have not got them in our prevent database. The other one is the construction, which we also try to get companies to assist us to ensure that we get our contracts to be implemented as soon as possible. So basically, in terms of our demand plan, we are far better than we were in the previous years. We now know and how when things should be completed. We hope that before the end of June, all the procurement and the pertinent expenditure of this current financial year would have already been out to the market so that we can conclude them in time so that we don't have that logistic that later on happens with our expenditure. Thank you.
Thank you very much from the department. Were all your questions answered? Do you like to make some follow-up? Mr. Sheikh?
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Minister, please don't take it to heart when you said that you had unqualified report and we didn't clap. It's not a policy of this committee to clap. And I think very...
Captain Houghton.
Okay, two very quick points. I think we did speak about getting scarce skills into particular areas. And I just want to know in terms of your bursary program, whether you are identifying people from those areas and giving them so that you know you'll be able to attract them to these particular areas. And more importantly, I think, we hear this very often, there are serious challenges and there's no consequences. Honorable Minister, I want you to spell it out for us in ABC language. What is going to be the consequences for people that are just constantly not compliant and which is creating a negative impact on service? That's what I want. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Oh, so
Minister, there's one question of the concern that I would like to put. And there was also a question by the Honorable Mazoko, which was written directed to you. I'm not sure whether you've answered that one. The question that I would like to ask is with regards to the pipes that we put in MLO. Let me declare that I'm from that area. And there was a big function from the department. I know this one is a new department, but people, they don't know that. And there were people from Department of Water Affairs in 2013. And they were there to put a big pipe precisely because there was a shortage of water. You'll remember that there was an unrest there. Let me tell you, even today, those people still struggle. The pipes are there, but there's no water. If you can just check on that matter, precisely because people are very angry, you know. sizusabe nokusho ukuthi kambe nami ngikhona ubona ukuthi nami bazomshaya. Please try to make something about it. It's my plea. And there's also one member who would like to make a follow-up.
Thanks for the responses, Honourable Minister, and the DG. Seems as though that you have things under control. So, from our side, I'm just hoping that next year we hear a bit of story in front of these case. Thank you.
The problem is what we do, we allocate also per province so that, excuse me, there's a spread in terms of intake. But also there's a commitment that with you benefiting out of this, you will avail yourself to serve. So that then you are also not tied up to just looking for people from the area, but you can also send people from one area to the other. Can I link your MLO story with consequences? Briefly, I was, and I take full responsibility. It's me, whether it was 2013 or what. Almost every day, as I'm sitting here now, there's somebody who's communicating with me on Facebook from Mudimole. I hope colleagues know where Mudimole is. And the person is saying the same thing. Grass has grown to an extent where you can't see the patch. It borders on accountability. It borders on lack of consequence management. But how everybody had his or her toys. That has been a thing. We're trying to rein in everybody. It's not even about say what we are going to do. We've done a lot since we have come in. There are senior managers who have already been served with more than one warning because of their positions and the implications of them not being able to do work properly. So, the application of consequence management is the way to go. And we are not going to be studying, but we are going to do it. And I think, even with this one, Member Manana, the issue of MLO, sitting here in Easy Digital is part of your RPK and infrastructure projects where somebody dished the money and somebody got the contract and nobody cared whether there would be water supply. But in our books, we are spent. All I'm saying is that it's those kind of things. We have already started to deal with them, and it's not an easy thing. But where somebody can take responsibility is in assuring this committee that personally I'm not afraid of dealing with non-performance, insubordination, that I'm not. Like I'm saying, there's a number. There are others that will now soon be charging with fraud for having made commitments that are supposed to be made by the accounting office. But people that don't know, this is how we used to do things. So when we came in, one of the things we did care was to withdraw all these delegated and de-delegated functions that everybody had. So we brought them back to the accounting officer and the CFO, the two CFOs, and that any other delegation will be done subject to the minister's approval. And that's what we are now trying to deal with. There's been instances of an attempt to continue with this kind of a situation. But we are dealing with it. It's not going to be easy. And hence, our capacitation of the accounting officer's unit in terms of project management. And the minister and the HOD and the DG in terms of performance monitoring and evaluation of our issues. Yes, I can say just that, watch that space. We can also give you the reports of what we have been dealing with. The issue of everybody having a toy is what we're trying to bring back and say it can't be like that, because this is what ends up with member Manana being scared to go home. So, thanks, Chair.
I just want to say, Minister, you are doing your best, but I want to say, Chairperson, I want your attention, Chairperson, that the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa gives power to committees of the legislature, parliament, to call whoever. It doesn't matter this person has left parliament or the civil service. If we want to get explanation from that person, we do have the power as this committee to call that person. Especially for issues like the minister is saying that, you know, these things happened some 3-4 years ago. There is a period in the public service which requires that records be kept. I'm not sure of the period. It may be 5 years, it may be 10 years, I am not quite sure. But as this committee, we must assist the department. Because what Honorable Manana is raising is very serious. It's very serious. It is a project that was supposed to have helped communities, people celebrated, and now she can't go home. That's why she's always in Cape Town. This is serious. And we need to call. We need to go back to that period as this committee and look at the money budgeted and get answers on what, how was that money spent? It's not that if a person has stolen this year, we didn't see it. Goodbye, good luck. There's no good luck. You see, this committee must work differently. We are not going to mean space. We are not going to spend people because people have left. No. People must come and actually account. Because we don't have any way of manufacturing more funds to give the department, say, those things that were supposed to, those things that should have been done, sorry, they're not done, now is the money. We can't expect the department to use its present budget to do things that were supposed to be done in 2012. It's unfair. This thing that we are talking about, especially members of my friends, the two friends, the two convents going on, the caucus, you like to say, consequence. You know, I always listen to this in the legislation. No consequence. Who? The question of consequence, not the baby of the department alone. What are we doing as parliament? We need the law. If the law is used, we've got to write the law. We've got the power to call those people. Once we get reports from the minister that this is what the thing. Call those people. They must come and tell us. We have got enough instruments in this country. We've got the Auditor General. We can ask for a forensic audit. We've got the Special Investigating Unit. We must go that far. People can't just siphon public money and they are blessed with good luck. No, it can't. There must be consequence. And consequence is not the responsibility of the department alone. We must write a report. You see, in this country, the constitution says we must hold the credit to account. But as this parliament, we came to parliament and we made a law, the Public Finance Management Act. And the Public Finance Management Act says the accounting officer must account. The accounting officer must tell us what went wrong. And when she gives us that direction, we should not smile. We must call those people. They must come. We know. I mean, in a department, if it is salaries that didn't go wrong, we know. Because, you see, we have got the office of the Auditor General. And the Auditor General doesn't ask. When they make a finding, they are specific. If it is supply chain, they will say supply chain didn't go right. If it's salaries, if it's infrastructure, that's visible. It mustn't be there. If it needs to be at this meeting, we must wait till 12 o'clock at night. It's our responsibility to look at the monies of this republic from local government. Fortunately for this committee, Minister, we are responsible for 9 provinces, for the 200 municipalities, and for all the government. Why not just, so we can actually get the fees. Thank you.
Minister, that's the kind of fire you always hear in this portfolio committee. Yes, indeed. It is true. We would like to ensure as much as is possible that departments perform optimally, and the effect must be felt by our people, because otherwise there shall be no reason for Parliament to exist. That's what Honorable Shopester is saying. And what the work we do is to try and enable Parliament to better understand and to have a better sense of how public funds are being used and whether they are achieving their results. And where we think that things are not happening correctly, We have said repeatedly to the committees that we have met, we would like to find solutions with the department early enough, so that we don't come at the end of the financial year and then start pointing fingers. We have repeatedly said that we, in our endeavor to correct whatever is not right, we must equally applaud that which is happening and bring it forth so that our people should know that there are things that are happening correctly, and then expect better. And therefore that's the direction that we say to our people, we have done this right. In the next attempt, expect something better, because we are making. So that's the kind of work we say we would like to do in this community. But equally, as Honorable Shopester is saying, it is not only the burden of the department to say somebody has committed an ill discipline of one sort or another in the department. We're trying to say, Minister, we think that to exercise oversight over the executive is a bit of a narrow interpretation of exercising oversight. And therefore, we seek to expand that interpretation and to say departments have heads of departments, they have CFOs, they have chief executives in their entities, etc., and so on and so on. because they are directly involved in the day-to-day implementation of policies, day-to-day expenditure of public funds in the effort to bring services to our people. And so we have the broader understanding of exercising oversight, and that's what we think we should bring to Parliament. Chair, Minister and officials, we do want to say, as one member said, we appreciate your presence. We appreciate the frankness with which you have engaged with us on issues, on the successes, even on the challenges that you face, even on the challenges that you came across when you first came into this department as it was really established. Appreciate the frankness. It assists us to engage further. It assists us to work better as this committee and begin to say, how do we play our role in addressing the challenges that are identified going forward? The bottom line is, we are joined between the department and Parliament in ensuring that our people receive the services they deserve. And that's the direction we should take. We don't like, as this committee, to stand on public platforms and address media and write articles and say this department and that minister are not doing a good job. We don't like to do that. We like to close doors and speak like this, and then get out and say, how do we further enhance the work of Parliament? How do we further enhance the work of departments? That's where we want to go. So thank you very much, Minister, for your presence. We appreciate also the availability of your officials when we ask that you be in this meeting on a Friday. Members, thank you very much for making yourselves available on a Friday morning. And thank you very much. I thank everybody, the Minister, the officials, members of Parliament, and our guests. I'm sure there must be some media or something, or someone from we thank all of those people present here for taking interest in the work of this committee. Thank you so much. The meeting stands adjourned. All right.